Coming up on Three and Out.
Blitz on the way. Simeon floats one to the end zone. Sanders with the catch. Touchdown, Denver!
After a slow start, the Broncos' comeback attempt falls short in Tennessee.
But my concern right now is how we're playing. You know, we got to play more consistent as a football team.
And there's still plenty of chatter about the low hit on Chris Harris Jr.
Man, we're going to play football, man. We're going to play for each other. That's what we do every day. That's why we play the game.
With three games remaining, it's time for a playoff push, starting with the Patriots and Tom Brady.
You know, when I say I hate him, I hate to love him. You know, that's what it is. It's a love-hate thing.
We get it. It's complicated. One thing is clear, though. Three and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for Three and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and it's Patriots week and the start of the playoff push. So let's get things started with First Down. Here with Matt Boyer now, and we're still talking about that low hit from Harry Douglas on Chris Harris Jr. Matt, what do you think about the way the team had Chris's back on that?
I think everybody was happy with the way that things went. You obviously don't want a 15-yard penalty. That's not something that, you know, Gary Kubiak endorses. But I do think he liked the fact that Aqib Talib did have his partners back in that Broncos secondary. Again, you know, it's one of those things where you don't want this to come back and bite the team, because the Broncos have the toughest remaining schedule in the NFL, so you'd hate for something to happen down the road in this game that would affect the subsequent games.
Did you think the hit was a low? I mean, it was a chop block. Right. I guess technically it's legal, but the guys in the locker room are talking about an unwritten rule.
Right. Technically legal, yes. Unwritten rule, like you said. Absolutely. When the run play, when Derrick Henry is running to the opposite side of the field on a sweep 20 yards away from Harry Douglas and Chris Harris Jr., it's generally assumed that nothing's going to happen. And if you look at the play, Douglas doesn't jump at Chris until very, very near the end of that play. So it was definitely legal. However, it was also dirty. The play was a second from being over. And when it's that close to being done and the play is 15, 20 yards away, you can't go at a guy.
It's one thing just to sort of get into him like this. It's a completely different deal when you take out the guy's knees. Gary Kubiak said that he was going to send the video to the NFL. He also weighed in on the matter the day after the game.
If we got a strong team, we got each other's back. You better have each other's back, you know, in this business and what we do. But you also got to be smart. You can't hurt your team. So that's what I tell our players. That's what I told Aqib. He understands that. You know, we can't put ourselves in a position where we're hurting what's going on the field. So,
man, we're going to play football, man. We're going to play for each other. That's what we do every day. That's why we play the game, man. We play for our checks, and we play because we love to be around each other and we love the game. So we out there playing football. So it's the last thing I'm going to say about it.
Time for a second down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, Trevor Siemian threw for more than 300 yards, had the touchdown, but ultimately they were shut out for the first three quarters in that game.
Yeah, and the bad starts continue to be a problem. And obviously, like you mentioned, shut out in the first three quarters. But you're talking about an offense that is the league's worst in the first quarter this season. Only two touchdowns in the first quarter all season. That's the fewest in the league. They're also dead last in first down rate in the first quarter. Only 21% of their plays in the first quarter are going for first downs. I mean, so you've got numbers that explain it. But the other thing is, the defense, while it's among the league leaders in the first quarter, it's only been average. And now, there's a sound explanation for that. You see teams that are throwing some different things at the defense, and the Broncos are doing a great job adjusting their work in the second, third, and fourth quarters. They're the best team in football defensively. But offensively, they're going from being the worst offense in the first quarter to only, you know, middle of the pack in the second through fourth quarter. So either they need to play much better and somehow become elite in the last three quarters, or they've got to figure out the first quarter, at least get that up to par, because they're digging themselves holes from which they can't come out.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Gary Kubiak says it's frustrating, not so much about the play calls, but more about the execution.
If you look at Trevor's numbers, obviously they're big numbers, you know, really big numbers in a game yesterday. But it comes back to, like I said, if you don't stay on the field and you're not getting snaps, those numbers aren't going to come. And yesterday in the second half, we did that. So we got to look at how we can start better and start faster as a football team with better detail on what we're doing.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by the Ben Swanson and his beard. Looking pretty sharp.
Thank you.
Thanks for dressing up today.
I'm also gearing up for the postseason.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm getting ready for my stretch run.
Just three games to go, and it might be the toughest remaining schedule in the NFL for the Broncos. And Gary Kubiak says they're going to have to play exceptional to get in the playoffs.
Without a doubt, it's the toughest. I mean, you have New England, 11-2, and then Kansas City and Oakland, who are each at 10-3. That's a 31-8 record. That's got to be by far the toughest of any team's remaining schedule. And they need to pull together. They need to win a couple of those games at least to gear up for the playoffs. And what more can you want to play that kind of schedule as a competitor?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we saw the Patriots get the big win on Monday night. It actually kind of helped the Broncos with the Ravens losing. So a lot of different scenarios to monitor here. But the Patriots, that's going to be a tough game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to do a lot of things better than what they did previous Sunday, of course. Third down conversions, the short downs, the running game. They're going to need to execute a lot better. This Patriots team, of course, is one with Bill Belichick that always executes well. They had some special teams miscues. I don't know if you saw them Monday night. Muffed punt, a fumble on a kickoff. Those kind of things are pretty rare, but if you can make them happen against the Patriots, you definitely have a chance. You just have to make sure everything is on track, everyone's on the same page. If you can do that, you have a chance. And then, you know, if you win one, then the next two, you know, if you win one of those, you could be a hot team headed into the playoffs. And who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, this time of year, it's all about who's the hottest heading into the playoffs. We saw the Broncos do that last year. After the two games here in Denver, though, for the Patriots, you know, this one's been circled on their calendar all season long. It won't be an easy stretch run, but it's one that the Broncos are looking forward to facing head on.
It's just like any other game, you know. When it comes, you know, right now we're worried about the Patriots. We're not worried about Kansas City or Oakland. We're worried about the Patriots. We got to beat the Patriots, and then we'll move on from there.
It's football. It's competition. That's the reason we play the game. We love the competition. So if we're going to do something, we got to be great, right? So let's be great.
It's time for fourth down and your Twitter questions. But before we toss things to our interns extraordinaire, a quick message from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
We're back here on Three and Out. It's time for your favorite part of the show. I'm Caroline Disley.
And I'm Eric Delisle. Let's get right to your questions. First off, from Stuart McPeak, he wants to know, are there any options to bolster our offensive line and our running game? Matt, why don't you take that one?
I think that Coach Kubiak said it best in his Monday press conference when he said the self-inflicted wounds on the offensive line need to stop. The Broncos had 9 penalties for 87 yards, lost the turnover battle 2-0, one of those a fumble from Justin Forsett early in that first half. So I think the personnel at times, though, has shown that it can be among the best in the NFL. Think back 3 weeks ago against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos had 83 yards against a defense that is probably considered one of the top three in the NFL at this point. So I think that the Broncos just need to fine-tune some things, eliminate a holding call here. I think another week with Justin Forsett is going to greatly improve that run game. He only had 3 or 4 days to get ready for this one. I think a full 7 will put him in very good shape for this weekend's matchup against New England. So I don't know if there needs to be wholesale changes. I just think a couple fine-tuning tweaks here and there would put the Broncos in good shape heading into this weekend.
Thanks, Matt, giving us the info we need to know. Caroline, you want to take the next one?
This one comes from Daylon Hilty, and they want to know, this late in the season, it's looking like the running game is going to remain MIA. Mace, is it time to unleash the Trevor?
Well, you saw what happened Sunday in the second half when Simeon went off script. I mean, they basically abandoned the running game entirely. They only had one rush in the last quarter of the game. Everything else was a pass, and you know, it was effective. Simeon was doing a good job finding his targets, particularly on out and intermediate routes. He saw, you know, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders making plays, made some nice catches. Right now, if you look at the offense, the most reliable components of it are Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders catching passes from Trevor Siemian. So you've got to go with that. Maybe it's got to be a pass to set up the run situation. You hit teams with those passes early, and then you've got some running lanes open later on as teams pull a linebacker back, pull a safety back, and do some more nickel and dime sub package stuff and allow you some openings to get some runs that can gash an opponent. Maybe you just got to do the reverse of what you normally would, but certainly, you know, this offense, the running game isn't working. You have to focus on what is working and try to get through the next three games and get to the playoffs. And right now that appears to be Trevor Siemian slinging it to Demaryius and Emmanuel.
Thanks, Mace. You always have the answers. Eric, let's finish it off.
Yeah, sure. Finally, from Daniel Gonzalez, number one fan. He wants to know, if Brandon Marshall and Todd Davis are hurt, what are the options at inside linebacker? Swanson, why don't you finish us up?
Well, of course, Brandon Marshall was still battling that hamstring injury that kept him out against Tennessee. And then Todd Davis, who got hurt in that game with an oblique injury, leaves you with two inside linebackers that have been on the team for the duration of the season. That would be Corey Nelson, who's been on the team for a few years now, and Zaire Anderson, who has been called up to the active roster this year. Anderson showed some great instincts, great tackling, physicality. Coach Kubiak said he graded out as one of the top defensive players this past week. So that's a good sign for them. Corey Nelson has a lot of experience. Wade Phillips has talked at length about how good he is as a cover guy. His experience is also great there, and he's very athletic. So those are two guys. Of course, you're very short on depth, but if you have two guys there that can fill in and help out in the run game, then things will kind of fill in from there. If you really need to go with further into the depth, Quentin Goss is back there, guy they just called up to the active roster from the practice squad. Dakota Watson could possibly fill in as well if they're really hurting for depth, but hopefully that won't come to pass.
So what you're saying, Swanson, is if the Broncos are hurting for depth, they should bring out some Goss?
And that's a wrap. I'm Caroline Dysley along with Eric Zalala. Phil, back to you.
Nice job, guys. Thank you very much, as always. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, Austin Brink behind the camera, and our interns extraordinaire, Caroline Dysley and Eric Zalala. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.